Good morning. I want to read this to you, and it kind of launches what we're going to talk about today. Your faith in God matters to God. In fact, God is most honored through your living, active, death-defying, out-of-the-box faith. That being the case, God is committed to highlighting the lives of people who had big faith to grow our faith big. So I just want to ask you a simple question here this morning. If on a scale from 0 to 10, 10 being I got big faith, 0 meaning I got very little faith, on a scale from 0 to 10, where would you rate your confidence, your faith in God? Because here's what we know. Doesn't matter where we are, God is going to orchestrate in our lives some tensions that will confront us and cause us to simply ask, do I have confidence in God? Now, we are looking at Luke chapter 1 this morning, and I want to start by just asking you to read this verse with me. Read it with me. For nothing will be impossible with God. And the question that I would ask simply this morning is, do you really believe that? For nothing will be impossible with God. And here's the scene. There's this young teenage girl, and an angel of God appears to her. Imagine this. And he says to her, I know you haven't been with a man, and I know that you're not married to a man, but surprise, you're going to be pregnant, and the child inside you is going to be called the Son of the Most High God. And Mary says, this is impossible. And the angel responds, but it's going to happen. And then he says, listen, nothing will be impossible with God. And today I want us simply to entertain how God can use a person's faith to grow another person's faith. Because Mary is presented to us as one who has complete confidence in God. Because at this point, she says, I belong to God. And may the words that you've spoken be fulfilled in me. Mary was listening. Mary believed. Mary would act with confidence in God and go visit her cousin Elizabeth down in Judea. And she will respond, and we'll look at the end of our time together this morning at a song, a poem that she wrote that just burst out of her because she was so elated with what God was doing in her. Because, see, she knew what Brian was talking about. Prophecy from Micah, 100 years that a virgin would give birth, and that child would be the Messiah. And she's realizing, oh my, all those things I've been taught all my life, I am a participant in those things. And here's what we know. That if we have confidence in God and we step into that confidence, God will use us in a powerful way. And my question as we begin for you is simply this. Do you believe that God can do great things? You guys believe God can do great things? Amen? Do you believe God can do great things? I mean, impossible things. Do you believe? But, Mr. Stewart, do you believe that God can do great things, impossible things, through your life? That your life is actually going to make a difference in advancing the kingdom of God? And I would ask you, community of faith, do we believe that God can do great things, I mean, impossible things, through us as a community of faith, through us as God's family? Do we believe that? And here's what we know. What would your life be like if you had unshakable, relentless faith? And this is a question that I have been wrestling with in my own person in the last 6 months? 10? What would you look like if you really had unshakable, relentless faith in God? 10, are you afraid? Yes, Lord, I'm afraid. Where's your faith? Lord, I don't have any faith right now. I'm scared. Have you ever felt yourself being fearful? And you would have you ever heard these statements? That's impossible. I can't do this. I'm weary. I'm not going to be able. And all of a sudden, things begin to mount up on you, and you feel like this is impossible. And all of a sudden, you're confronted with your fears, and fears begin to overwhelm you. And you're asking yourself, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, Paul wrote this. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Amen, Paul. If you're a guest with us and you don't know a lot about this guy, Paul, who wrote this, this guy's name was Saul. And Saul was an extremely religious person. His goal was to preserve a religious system. And there was something about Saul that believed if you followed all the rules of this religious system, you would be right with God. And that's really all you needed to do. If you could check out that you were following all the rules of the religious system, then you were okay with God. Then all of a sudden, this Jesus came along, and he said, you got to do that. That's right. But what if God wants more? If God wants more confidence in him, and he wants you to step into your religious relationship with God, but he wants you to step into a relationship through his son Jesus, and you know God in a very personal, very practical, in a very intimate way. He wasn't there yet. Saul stood for killing Christians, for crunching them, for destroying them, for putting them out. And he would get papers to go to Damascus to arrest Christians. And while he's on the road, he has this encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And Jesus simply says to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Now, here's the thing you got to know about Jesus. When a man walking the planet says to you, I'm going to die on the cross, I'm going to be buried in the tomb, and on the third day I'm going to rise again, and he pulls it off, and it happens, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go with that guy. And when there's so many witnesses who put their confidence and their life would be laid down to rally his cause as devoted followers of Jesus. So Saul has this encounter with Jesus. He goes into Damascus. He prays and fasts for 3 days, 3 nights. Ananias comes to him. Didn't want to. Don't you know what he's about? He comes to him, heals his eyes because he'd been blind. And then he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. The Lord has appeared to you. He wants you as a devoted follower of Jesus in relationship with God through Jesus to move out into the Gentile world and teach them what it means to be a devoted follower of Jesus. He said, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins. And when Saul was baptized, he went immediately to Jerusalem. He began to meet with the disciples, the apostles there, and he began to grow, and he began to grow his faith and grow his confidence to the point that he would literally travel around all through Turkey. And then he would move over into the Greeks, and he would begin to teach them what it meant to be a devoted follower of Jesus. So let's ask Paul some questions. Paul, I'm just curious, why do you follow Jesus? If somebody was to ask you this morning, why do you follow Jesus? Why do you follow him? Why do you come to church here on Sunday morning? Paul, could you help us here? Why do you follow Jesus? Paul would say, it's not for why you might think. Now, some of us, we might think, We follow Jesus because he makes you a good person. And that's true. People that follow Jesus are good people. If I follow Jesus, I'll be very religious. People will see me as being I'm a devoted follower of Jesus. So I come to church on a Sunday morning, I can check off, I can pay my life insurance, and maybe I follow Jesus so I can go to heaven. But you watch Jesus, and Jesus is never presenting to people, if you follow me, then it's all about heaven. He talks about the kingdom of heaven, but why do people follow Jesus? I know why you guys follow Jesus. You follow Jesus because you want no pain and no problems in your life. Don't you know if you follow Jesus, there's no pain and no problems? Wait a minute. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, here's what is going to happen. People in the synagogue, in the religious system of the day, they're going to take you out and flog you and beat you. You're going to be, if you follow me, you're going to be arrested. If you follow me, you're going to have lots of problems. So the no problem, no pain is not why we follow Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself, why did Paul follow Jesus? Because if we can discover why he followed Jesus, why he had so much confidence in God because of his relationship with Jesus Christ, that could build our confidence, couldn't it? And here's what you discover. Down here at the bottom, to him be the glory. Stop. What's that, Paul? To him be the glory. Paul, why do you follow Jesus? And he would say, I want my life to honor God. Why follow Jesus? Be a good person? Okay. Go to heaven? Okay. I get that. I follow Jesus so that no pain, that's not going to work. I follow Jesus so people will look at me as, I follow Jesus because I want every aspect of my life to bring him glory. Amen? So when your friends ask you, why do you go to church? Why do you follow Jesus? The answer is pretty simple. We could all, I want to honor God. I want to honor him in such a way that he knows I have confidence in him. I have big faith in him. And that honoring God swells up in me so much. His love pours into me. His spirit, according to the power that works within me, it swells up in me so much that I pour love out into people. Honor God, love people. Why do you follow Jesus? Because nobody loved people like Jesus. People in religious system a lot of time can be pretty rotten and cold. But people who follow Jesus, who've had an encounter with a resurrected Lord, they're all about relationships. They're all about connection. They're all about asking good questions. There's some of you here today, and I know this is true. Your life is falling apart. It's impossible. I can never get this back together. Some of you are in financial struggles and you're like, oh, my life is just falling apart. This is impossible. I can't do this. My marriage isn't working. My parenting skills, they're not working. My job, I just lost my job. All of a sudden, you get overwhelmed with all these impossible things. And watch what happens when that happens. Fear sinks in. And when fear sinks in, your faith goes down. And so when I asked you earlier, where's your faith from 0 to 10, you'd say, Ken, do you know what I'm having to deal with right now? Christmas is coming. I've lost a loved one, and it's not going to be good. It's not going to be the same at all. And my confidence in God is kind of low. Where does confidence in God come from? And I believe this. Don't ever forget the one thing that Jesus is trying to show us is we can have utmost confidence in God. He takes ordinary and uses them when they put their confidence in him to do extraordinary things. Grow your faith, grow your confidence. And so Paul simply writes, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all we ask or think, whatever you ask or imagine, how big is your dream for your life? How big is your dream for this community of faith? Because Paul says, whatever you can ask, whatever you can pray for, whatever you can dream, whatever you can imagine, according to the power of God that's at work within you as an individual, within us as a community of faith, God can make it happen. Because we can bring glory to Him if we will have a big faith. Making sense so far? Now, my son Jordan worked at Camp Eagle. And this tower is way up above the trees. And that little spot that's way down there, that spot is the landing spot. And there's a cable running right there. There I am. That's Donna over here. She didn't get good in the picture. But our sweet Jordan took us up to a mile and a half zip line. You lay down, you put the harness on, they buckle you in. I looked back and I saw Donna over leaning against the pole like this. I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm praying. What do you think? We're going to be fine. The people who engineered this, they know what they're doing. I have confidence in them. Then the old boy who helped build the thing, he came over and he said, Ken, listen, you're the heaviest guy that's ever gone down this particular cable. And if you hit a tree, could you mark which one it is so we could go cut it? I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, help me. Cheryl, you cannot say anything. Did y'all see Cheryl jumping out of an airplane on Facebook? Why would somebody do this? So we're laying there like that. Donna said her prayer. And as we lean over, the guy pulls the zip line and all four of us go down at the same time. You thought it was going to be like a roller coaster ride where you dropped, but you didn't. The cable was pulled so tight, just a smooth little. And all of a sudden, you feel like Superman or Wonder Woman or a superhero. And you're just like, get out of my way, tree, because here I come. And we go down that thing, and you got to ask yourself this question. At what point did I make a decision to have a confidence in a thin little piece of cable? And why would anybody in their right mind jump out of a perfectly good airplane? If you're going to have confidence in God, if you're going to be a devoted follower of Jesus, you're going to jump. And you're going to say to God, God, I can't do this. This is impossible. And He's going to say, trust me. I got you. Don't you know what God is always saying to people? And we're going to see Him say this to Mary. Don't be afraid, honey. Don't be afraid. I'm standing, there's an angel glowing there, and you don't want me to be afraid? Don't be afraid is always Jesus' first words to those who are devoted followers of Jesus. Now, here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. I just want to say this right here while I'm thinking about big faith. Is that people who follow Jesus, to follow Jesus, you don't have to believe. There was this old boy that followed Jesus, hung out with Jesus for almost 3.5 years. And his nickname was what? Doubting Thomas. So you don't have to be a devoted follower of Jesus to follow Jesus. You can doubt. You can be unsure. You can question. You can go, I don't know if I trust you, God. That's okay. Come follow me. Here's another thing we know. You don't have to have your act together to follow Jesus. Peter said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Sinners follow Jesus. Do you remember the first time Jesus is walking and he sees a tax collector, the scum of the earth, Matthew? Peter is about to spit in his eye. He hates him so much. And Jesus says to Matthew, come follow me. Matthew gets up, follows Jesus. And you know what all the religious system training tells all those guys? Not him. Not him. He cannot go with us. I'm not going with you anymore, Jesus. If you're going to let a scumball like Matthew come into our fellowship, I'm out of here. I'm out. I believe that's why Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. Father had two sons. One was Matthew, scum of the earth, squandered his wealth in wild living. He had an older son like you, Peter. Always did the right things, knew all the rules, followed them. Straight, good kid. And when the younger son stood up out of his chair and moved into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that brother said, not on my watch. I'm not going to hang out with Matthew. I don't even want to be with him. I want to be with you, Jesus, but I don't want to be with Matthew. Jesus says, you're going to have to decide. Are you going to love? Are you going to have confidence in me and confidence in God so that you love? You know what? That person that you hate with all your might, Jesus died for that person. Takes big faith to love like Jesus, doesn't it? Big faith. And so what you have to understand is that when Jesus says, the father came out to the older son and said, we have to celebrate. Come on. Come into the party. Come into the life. Come into the relationship with God the Father. And let's celebrate that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Where do you get that kind of confidence? Do you realize that when we went down this cable, after I had made the decision to entrust myself to the cable, to entrust yourself to Jesus, I don't have any more decisions to make. Where he leads, I follow with confidence. So many of us want to just reach up there and pull the cord and disconnect from Jesus and say, you know, I thought I wanted to follow you, but then you invited this guy to come in. I don't want him. I'll disconnect from you. I'll go back to my religious system. And Jesus goes, oh, I wouldn't do that if I was you. There is life over here in relationship. And so we see that when I went off that cable, I landed down in that little spot, and Donna landed in that little spot. I have to tell you, we celebrated that we had done it, but we didn't go back up and do it a second time. God wants you to have confidence in you. Are you tracking with me here? So there's this young lady. Her name is Mary. Let's look at our reading for the day. She has so much confidence in God. She knew the prophecy of Micah. She knew the story of God coming into Egypt and rescuing them, putting the blood over the door. And she knew all the stories of all the people who had put their confidence in God. And guys, I'm going to just tell you, at a very, very early age, she decided, I put my confidence in God. I trust him completely. I want you to look for her attitude. I want you to look for her actions. And I want you to look for her appreciation and her applause of heaven in the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and he said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, what did he say? Read it with me. Do not be afraid. Read it. Do not be afraid. That's what God is always saying to you. Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never, never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. And here's where it is. For there is nothing impossible with God. The NIV translates it this way. For no word from God will ever, ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Do you have confidence in God? Would you put your trust in God? Because what we're talking about here today is that when you put your confidence in God, then you're going to respond the same way that Mary's going to respond. And Mary's going to say, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Nothing will be impossible with God. Isn't it amazing how God uses somebody, a teenage girl, to demonstrate to us what confidence in Him looks like? You see, it was impossible for her to be pregnant. It was impossible for Nazareth to accept her as one of their teenage. It was impossible for Joseph. Mary didn't look at her fears. She looked at her faith and she put her confidence in God. And she stepped into that relationship with God with confidence. And she would just say, "I'm ready. I'm yours. Whatever you want." Let me ask you today, in your life, is that where your confidence in God is? And you go, "It's not." Remember what the angel said? Do not be afraid. Because God knows fear dominates us. And it keeps us from stepping in faith. But I love this close. Because after she goes to see Elizabeth, and she confirms, "Oh my goodness, you are pregnant. Oh," and the baby jumped for joy. Then we get this verse where Elizabeth responds, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her." Elizabeth says. And I just can't imagine being on that scene and seeing this. And Mary said, and she burst into the song that we're fixing to sing. It's the song where she just honors God with every fiber of who she is. When you don't know what to do, when fear is coming in, when your world is falling apart, all you need to do is turn your face upward and say, "God, I'm putting my confidence in you." Confidence in God always overwhelms fear. Perfect love casts out fear. God's love for you should push your fears aside and help you step with confidence and help you sing. The song we're about to sing, I'm praying you will sing it, not just say the words, but let it come from your soul, the very fiber of your being. Because this is a day of celebration. This is a day of resurrection. And the reason you and I are here on this day is because we've come to follow Jesus into a devoted relationship with Him in such a way that our confidence, our faith grows big. And here's the song. I'll read it. I have a closing comment, and then we'll sing. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Doesn't that seem like a weird ending to you? Come on, there needs to be a little bit more. And then it says Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, and she returned home. And here is the truth. Mary's song is not finished. That might be the end of her song to Mary, but we are a continuation of God's song of celebration, that the God who created us came to earth, died on a cross, rose from the dead, and you and I are partakers in that new life, in that new covenant, in that new way of the Spirit. And His Spirit fills us, and we celebrate. Mary trusted because she knew the story. My prayer is that this week you will walk with more confidence, because just like Mary knew the story of God through the Scriptures, that you and I know the story of God. And so we don't walk by fear, we walk by faith. I want you to imagine how differently you would respond to difficulties, temptations, and even good things if you knew with certainty that God was in all of it. And He was planning to leverage it for good and for the advancement of His kingdom. Amen? Let His kingdom come. And let Him move in us and use us to advance His kingdom. But in order for all that to happen, there's only one thing that it hinges on. Your confidence, your trust, your big faith. We're about to sing a song of celebration. My soul magnifies the Lord. There's the first line of it. I want you to sing this like you just discovered that God is going to take an ordinary person like you and do extraordinary things through you. I believe this. I believe that what's about to happen at the South Baton Rouge Church is going to be 10 times greater than anything that happened last year or the year before that. There is a movement, there is a motion in process of the Holy Spirit drawing us into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And when we become a relational people, connecting with God and connecting with each other, when we do that, our souls are going to sink out. Put your troubles aside and give them to Jesus, and let's sing this song. If you would stand, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we'll sing this song. Dear God and Father, I'm just asking you to bless us as a church family. There's so many challenges in each one of our lives as we walk by fear instead of by faith. Thank you for Mary and her example. And thank you for the way you can take an individual like Saul, who knows a lot about religion, and move him so he knows a lot about your son, Jesus. We want to know Christ and the power of his rising, to share in his suffering, somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. That's not dead like after we die. That's dead on a daily basis, that we would live life to the full and that our soul would magnify your name in every aspect, in every fiber of our being. We ask your blessings as we sing this song. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.